Jesus tells a parable about his own second coming, emphasizing the need for readiness at all times. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will be not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our light, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday, we celebrated and honored the veterans. It was Veterans Day. And as a veteran myself, I was reminded of my own time in military service, particularly of the whole hurry up and wait. We would double time it only to sit and wait. We double-timed it to doctor's appointments to sit and wait. We double-timed and worked twice as hard during nuclear inspections, chemical readiness inspections. We double-timed to PT. We double-timed getting our aircraft prepared for flight, only to sit and wait. It was a lot of waiting. And waiting is one of those peculiar pieces in our parable today of the telling of what the kingdom of God is like. Some of the other things that are peculiar and have me wondering are, why did only some of them bring flasks of oil? Why didn't the ones who did share with the others? The bridegroom's going to be right there. Surely their flask has enough to get them in the door and onto the banquet. Where in the world are they going to find a dealer of oil at midnight? Why wouldn't the master let them in when they did find this oil and came back? What is Jesus trying to teach us about the kingdom? About God's kingdom. Now, one thing I think it's important to remember here is that this one parable is a string of many parables that Jesus has been telling in order to explain, to give an image, a larger picture of what the kingdom of God is and what it means. Therefore, I don't think this one parable is meant to be a complete and holistic description, but rather one important piece of that puzzle, that one detail we need. And I think it comes in that final verse. "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Now, our gospel this morning is found in the book of Matthew, and many scholars believe that Matthew was written around sometime the year 90, which would have been approximately 60 years after Jesus' death. Our epistle lesson, 1 Thessalonians, was one of the first books in the New Testament written, I think, in the early 50s, 40 years before Matthew. And I think it's important to distinguish that because The Thessalonian text reveals to us the nature of what's going on in the Christian community of this time. The people are worried. This text reveals to us that Christians are worried about resurrection into eternal life. And why is that, you might ask? Well, Jesus was expected to return in their own lifetime. And because it's been a number of years and people are starting to die off, they're starting to wonder. They're starting to doubt. They're starting to say, what is going to happen to those who have died? What's going to happen to us if we die before Jesus comes? Now, this Thessalonian text, if I may also add, is another one of those passages, especially here in the South, that we find to be a real popular text in supporting a rapture theology. Now, rapture theology, if any of you are familiar with the Left Behind series, the Kirk Cameron movie, you know, where the good believers are sucked up into heaven and into the clouds, and then the rest of us, all the bad people, are left behind to burn and all that terrible hoopla crap. I'm sorry. I know some of you prescribe to this, but I don't. I don't. Kirk Cameron, for one, he's recently was in scrutiny in the news because he said that Hurricanes Irma and Harvey came to humiliate us, to give us humility, to give us a sense of awe of God's power, to drive us to repentance. And I'm not here to bash Kirk Cameron or rapture theology, but I just want to identify to say, don't you see something problematic with that? It's as if God is saying, you're good, you're bad, and you know, you're just SOL. You're going to burn in fire. This rapture teaching, as Lutherans, this isn't one that we subscribe to. This isn't one that we teach, that we support. And reason being, as I stated, Scripture, in my opinion, just doesn't support it. And it grossly takes this passage out of its context. That context I was just talking about. The Thessalonians, the people of Thessalonica, are freaked out. Their buddies are dead, and Jesus has not come yet. They're about to die, and they have not seen Jesus come out of the clouds like they're expecting. Jesus' return is taking far too long. And I think this is what sets the tone for our gospel lesson this morning, this parable that Jesus tells about the coming kingdom. Jesus is letting us know that it is going to be a long wait. And there is absolutely no indication of when Christ is going to return. He will, but we don't know when. So what are we to do as Christians? Matthew tells us to be ready and to wait. Now, waiting is hard. You all know that. It's uncomfortable, and in many instances, waiting is intolerable. Particularly in our society today, where we're an instant gratification people. We like to have that instant reward, that instant non-waiting time. And in many cases, waiting is considered a waste of time, even. Yet, we wait. We wait for good things in life. We wait for that job promotion. We wait to close on our first house. We wait for the birth of a healthy baby. We wait to meet up with an old friend we haven't seen for a number of years. We also wait for things that are hard. We wait as we can't make payments on our house and it goes into foreclosure. We wait as we try mercilessly to get pregnant. We wait for that worst nightmare coming true as a doctor affirms the return of cancer. We wait. And whether you're waiting for the good or you're waiting for bad news, when it's delayed, that waiting is a sure cause of more anxiety and deeper discomfort. Waiting is terribly difficult and even sometimes the hardest part of the experience. Yet Jesus' lesson today for us in Matthew invites us in the waiting to be ready. So how do we ready ourselves? And I think it's really quite simple. By having oil for our lamps. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to those listening, "You are the light of the world." Jesus Christ has named every single one of you, everybody in this world, to be lights of that world. So what is the fuel? If you all are already the light, what is the fuel in your tank for the journey? What is the oil that fills your lamps, your beings? What is it that gives you life? What is it that brings you joy? What is it that sustains you while you wait? Oil is important. We need it while we wait. We need it for our light lamps to be trimmed. In baptism, our foreheads are marked in the sign of the cross in oil with the words, "Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." You then receive a candle, hearing the promise, Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life." Marked and sealed in oil, you are the light, Christ's light. These promises freely given to you as you were washed in your own baptisms. Promises that God intends to keep through all eternity. So yes, waiting is hard. But know that Jesus is along throughout all of the waiting periods throughout our lives. Jesus is that fuel, the oil that trims our lamps and keeps us while we wait. He is that ultimate light that has named all of you lights of the world. From little Hattie this morning in her baptism on this glorious day, until that last day when we all meet Christ again face to face, that completion of our baptisms. The light of Christ is a free gift. It's a free gift for you and for all, for our lamps, for our own beings, for our own weight, to be trimmed and burning. Let that light shine bright before others so that all may glorify our Father in heaven. Amen.